The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
It's Pentecost Sunday, and we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit as we continue our series. And before I forget, next Sunday is Memorial Day weekend, so I'm going to interrupt the series again for Memorial Day. So that's always a special day for me and for our nation. So we'll have some videos and special sermon and testimonies, and who knows what will happen. So that'll be next Sunday. But today, talking about the storms of life and the series, we've been using John 16:7. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. All right? That is the promise of God. And we've been talking about several things. We spoke about the Holy Spirit as wind, fire, and power. And then another sermon, we put the Holy Spirit's persuading mission. He's here to persuade us to do what he wants done in the kingdom. And last time we spoke about this, 2 weeks ago, we spoke about the Holy Spirit in you. All right? And today we're going to address the issues of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the evidences of the Holy Spirit being within us. And I'm going to use this as a text from two places, actually, Matthew chapter 3 and then Acts chapter 1. John the Baptizer said this. He said, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And then in Acts chapter 1, Jesus is speaking. He said, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Old Testament, of course, as you know, promised Messiah, but it also spoke in places, and not in as great a detail, but it did speak about the Spirit of God doing some things that were going to be beyond comprehension. Joel said in the latter days, in the last days, you know, God would pour out his Spirit, and that great things, people would prophesy, speak in other tongues, there'd be miracles. So the question that we run into is Jesus enough? And I get that question because I'm a big Jesus guy. You know, Jesus said it all, the finished work of Christ, there's nothing that we have to do. So, isn't Jesus enough? Well, in one way, the answer to that is yes. Is the work that Jesus did finished? The answer to that is yes. He's finished, he left, he went, and he sat down. So do I need to have the Holy Spirit? What is that all about? Well, the ground rules are that if you don't have the Spirit of God dwelling within you, you're not born again. You're not alive. You're dead in your trespasses and sin. Romans says that anyone who doesn't have the Spirit of Christ dwelling within them, that they are not part of the kingdom. They're not in God's plan and God's program. But there is only one Spirit. There's only one Lord. There's only one baptism. So it gets a little confusing to those who don't read the Bible. But if you read the Bible, you'll see, especially beginning in the book of Acts, that there was this event that took place, which all of Christendom who remembered it is celebrating today, Pentecost Sunday, the day that the Holy Spirit came in fire and in power. You see, what we see today, Jesus had a job to do, right? His job description said, go to the earth, live, tell them about God the Father, and you will be given as a sacrifice for the sins of men. That's what he came to do. That's what he did. He finished. He rose from the grave. He's out of here. He's a gone for corn. He's not here anymore. And I know that that distresses us sometimes because we think that he is here, but he's not. Evidently, even the resurrected Christ can only be in one place at one time. Because you see him say, I will meet you someplace, or he showed up in a room, or he showed up at the shores of Galilee, or he was walking with some guys going down the road to Emmaus. So he was in one place, and they saw him leave. And it said, in the same manner which you see him leave, he will return. But Jesus said there's another event, and it's the Holy Spirit in his job description that shows up in an event that began at Pentecost. Some believe it was the initiation of the church, putting the church into action, and that makes sense to me. I understand that. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you have the Moose Club, the Goose Club, and every other kind of club you want to have, but you don't have a church. It's the Holy Spirit indwelling believers that makes the church the living stones, I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago, that jointly fit together to be the temple of God. So what we have is the Holy Spirit. And boy, I got to be careful. I say this, I might have a lightning bolt strike me. But the Holy Spirit can do things that Jesus can't do. Because he is spirit and wind and fire, and he is not limited by the physical aspects of this world. He can be as many places as he wants to be at any given time. And so it's the Holy Spirit that speaks to you, dwells within you, and does not have the limitations of a body. He does not have a body. At least not one we would recognize. But he's not a disembodied, you know, molecule just floating around the universe. He is the personality and the part of the Trinity of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So that's what we're talking about. And I've got to tell you, you know how you go someplace? In fact, we saw this when we were watching Harry and Meghan. Such a big deal. It really was a big deal. You don't get to see that much money spent in one place at one time very often. But this one gal showed up. She was one of the wedding guests. She was, you could tell this was a free spirit. She was just kind of walking and bopping. Some of the ladies are walking, you know, they, you know, put the one foot in front of the other, and they look so prim and proper. This gal was all over the place. Her arms were flailing. She was, and Pat said, she's a mover and a shaker. I said, she is out of control. That woman is absolutely out of control. And she walked into the church, and everybody else is kind of quiet in a good church like you would expect it to be. And she's going, hi, he's waving at people. He's kind of going from one side of the aisle to the other. That's the Holy Spirit. He's out of control. You know, you can't control him. He does what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, the way that he wants to do it. When he showed up, remember, when Jesus came, you know, oh, holy night. The stars are brightly shining. Bah, bah. You know, yes, a few little angels show up and, you know, speak to a couple of guys. Wind, fill the place. He blew in the town. I mean, he just blew in and he lit it all up. I mean, he was smoking the Holy Ghost tires. And got so many people upset that the people who were in town come running around to see what's going on. They saw everybody, you know, just really pumped up, speaking in other languages. And, of course, the world's first misunderstanding of the Holy Spirit was, well, these guys must be drunk, you know. And Peter said, well, it's not 5 o'clock somewhere, so they're not drinking, all right? You know, this is the promise. This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. So that's his entrance. He has been confusing people. Not because he's confused, but because people get confused. Well, I don't understand that, and I don't know why I need that. I've got Jesus, and that's enough. Well, I would agree with you, except Jesus would disagree with you. He would. He said, don't do anything, don't go anywhere until you are, they use the word endowed, you know, until you receive the Holy Spirit. the power of the Holy Spirit, right? So that's his introduction, and that's my introduction to today's sermon, all right? You got that? So let's look at the Holy Spirit. The Holy baptism of the Holy Spirit energizes you to do what? To serve. We are given this marvelous presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, individually and collectively, in the church, in the temple, the living temple of God, to serve. That's what we're here to do. And let's look at Acts 1, 4 through 5 again. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, you know, you ever notice that? How many times Jesus was eating? He must have had a good appetite. He liked food, you know. So one day he was eating with them, and he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem. He didn't say he gave them a suggestion. He didn't say that, oh, if you don't have anything else to do, just hang around, go wherever you want. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. So the Father promised it. Jesus spoke to them about it. And he reiterates what John had said. John baptized with water. What was John's baptism? Repentance. It was salvation. It was to get people on the right track. Tell them about the coming of the Messiah. Remember when Jesus showed up? He said, this is the one that I told you about, who's here now, and I'm not unworthy to take his sandals off, unloosen his shoes. I'm not worthy to get down on my knees in front of him. This guy is amazing. That's what John the Baptizer did. But in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. John baptized in water. The Holy Spirit, he baptizes you in a different kind of way. Now, the most common thing the most common expression of the Holy Spirit that you read about in the New Testament, and which seems to bother most people when you talk about the Holy Spirit, is this thing of speaking in other tongues. You know, he came with his own language, speaking about in a way that we could not understand. And if it wasn't for Paul giving us a great explanation of that, which I'm not going to go through today, we wouldn't have any idea what that was all about. But it's doing something that befuddles the mind of men. You cannot use the cardinal mind or the cardinal ways of doing things to accomplish the task that God wants us to accomplish. And so we need something else. Paul said when we speak in other tongues, we edify ourselves or we build ourselves up. The best illustration I can think of to help me understand that is the battery on your car. When your battery goes dead, you need to charge it to re-energize it. Well, that's what speaking in tongues does. It builds us up. It charges us up to do what God is enabling us to do. All right? So this group of disciples seemed to never get things right. They were willing, you know, they said on a couple of occasions, man, we've left everything to follow you. Where could we go? This is it. No, Jesus, we're behind you. Wherever you go, we'll never leave you. We'll never desert you. You know, Peter said, when Jesus said, they're going to take me off and do these horrible things to me, and Peter said, no way, Jose, it ain't going to happen. I am going to be with you. Nothing can stop me. I got my trusty sword. You know, let's go. And you know what happened? Everybody deserted him. Why? Because they were not endowed with the power that they needed to do in the kingdom of God in the world. They weren't able to. They saw the power of the Holy Spirit working in Jesus and through Jesus, but when they tried things, it didn't work. Remember the time they went out, tried to cast a demon out of someone? And he came back and he said, it doesn't work. And Jesus said, well, this kind of takes a little more effort into prayer and fasting to get this kind out. They didn't understand that. They didn't know about that. So they were mostly powerless They couldn't cast out demons. They couldn't heal the sick. They couldn't feed the multitude. And they couldn't preach the gospel. So we had believers. They believed in Jesus. They had left the world to follow him. And yet they were unable to do what was necessary. Friends, you don't turn the whole world upside down with just a good idea. It takes power to do that. And when they received that power, the book of Acts says, they turned the whole world upside down. All right? What a difference Pentecost made in the lives of these people. They were praying in fear and in weakness. They didn't know that the next steps they would hear would be the sound of boots of the Roman soldiers coming to take them away. That's what they had expected. Now, that's not what Jesus said would happen, but that's what they expected. Why? Because Jesus wasn't there any longer. You know, it's one thing when somebody's with you saying, it's going to be okay, but I got to leave. I have to leave the country. You're going to be okay. Well, when they're gone, you kind of get, what? The story about the little boy, I've told the story before, who was in his bed at night, and he was crying. His mother said, stop crying and go to sleep. And he said, I'm afraid. And mother said, don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit is with you. God is with you. Go to sleep. And there was a moment of silence. And the little boy said, yeah, but I need somebody with skin on. You need somebody's presence there. And so they were in fear and weakness until they got spiritual skin on. Somebody with spiritual skin on. The next day, the very next day, they are turning the world upside down. They are so done. The change in the book of Acts is so dramatic. When you read it, you got to scratch your head and say, are these the same guys? This is the pros. This is not the varsity team any longer. These are the ones who are really getting it done. Peter is not cutting people's ears off. He's bending people's ears. And telling them, this is the truth. This is what we discovered. And he starts reading from, reciting things from the Old Testament and explaining it to them. So, and people are getting saved. 3,000 people get saved in one day. Man, it's a joy when we see three get saved. Much less 3,000 get saved. And that was the beginning of the church. And we see the reason why the Holy Spirit was there. He did the impossible. The people heard the word of God through the preacher. The Holy Spirit spoke to them and said, this is the truth, to their individual hearts, just like he spoke to you. And they received it, and they were baptized in water, but they also received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So the question then comes up, and I've had people tell me this, well, we don't need to get baptized in water. It doesn't save us. We got Jesus, and that's enough. And I have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I speak in other tongues. So I don't need to be baptized in water. Wrong again. Why would you need to get baptized in water? For the same reason that you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave them this command, all right? That something was coming. And the same way he told the disciples, go into the whole world, teaching them everything I commanded you, and doing what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we see in the New Testament, that's exactly what happened. Spirit-filled believers baptized people. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch? Philip explained the scriptures to him? And he said, what keeps me from being baptized? There's some water. Said nothing. Took him down there and baptized him in water. So, in Christendom, if Paul, Peter, the New Testament disciples of this, the book of Acts, if they were to come here today and you would say to them, well, I received Jesus in my life, but I haven't been baptized, they would think that was the weirdest thing. And if you said, well, I've been baptized in water, but I've not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they would think that was even weirder. Because we see examples when they would run into people and they would say, you know, have you been baptized since you believe in the Holy Spirit? And they said, we didn't even hear about it. All we know about is Jesus. And they prayed for them, they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in other tongues. So these are real events in the scriptures that are still available to us today. So, why do you need the Holy Spirit? Because he has a job for you and for me to do, and we can't do it without the Holy Spirit. The cardinal mind, the cardinal eyes, the cardinal voice, the cardinal vocabulary is not enough. I can't tell you how many times in the years that I've been serving the Lord that I've met people and been in situations where I didn't know what to say. I just was, you know, out of gas. I didn't have any ideas. And an idea would just pop into my brain. And I'd hear myself saying stuff. And it was almost like I was on the outside looking in. And I'd hear me say things that I wouldn't have normally said. And I've learned through the years, that is when the Holy Spirit shows up and speaks through you to people in a way that they hear what they need to hear. Does that make sense to you? Do you know, have you experienced that in one way, shape, or form or another? And we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I'm not going into the detail about them today, but that's exactly what that is all about. So, the baptism of the Holy Spirit empowers you to do what? To witness. That's what we are here to do. And what is a witness? A witness is somebody who knows what they're talking about. First-hand witness. You know what happened. I was recently talking to someone about an event that took place in our town, and I said, I don't have first-hand information about that. I have hearsay information. Somebody told me who told somebody. So I can tell you what I heard, but I didn't use this word, but I was not a witness to the event, so I couldn't say. But if you've been encountered with the Holy Spirit, if you've been encountered with Jesus, if you've been baptized in water and baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can be a witness of what you know. A witness tells what they know. If you don't know Jesus, you can't tell about him. There was a guy in the book of Acts who saw everything that was taking place, and he said, what would it cost me to get this power so that I could tell other people and watch these things happen to them? And Peter rebuked him and said, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't have God. And you, without God, you cannot be a witness. So our job is to be a witness in Jerusalem, you know, the city of Jerusalem, Judea, that's the whole area that surrounds them, okay? In Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. In other words, you're going to be a witness at home. The best place to witness, and the first place to witness, is in your home. To your husband, your wife, your children, your grandchildren, your moms, your dads, your cousins, that close circle. Judea, just think of it this way. That's St. Tammany Parish. You know, that's our bailiwick. That's where we're busy. That's where we're doing things. You remember, and I'm digressing for a moment. It's been about 5 years ago now that the Holy Spirit told me to get busy in Slidell. Not outside of here, but to be busy right here. This is my Judea. This is where to work. Samaria, who are the Samaritans? They are the religious people who got it half right and half wrong. They were half-breeds. They were Gentiles married to Jews. That's what they were. And boy, the Jews, I mean, they really didn't like them. I mean, they'd almost spit when they used the word Samaritan. Remember Jesus said to the disciples, I must go to Samaria. And they said, what? He said, where? He's going to do what? And we know the story. He met the woman at the well, and the rest is history, okay? And to the ends of the earth. So that's our feel, that we should be doing things as witnesses of Christ, all right? Power is a word that speaks of great ability. Someone has power. People have military power. People have political power. People have a lot of different kinds of power. But power does a lot of things. It'll light a home. It will blast through solid rock. It'll let you drive an electric car, a 1968 Jaguar that's been refurbed to be an electric car and faster than a speeding bullet. You have no idea what that's about, but you wasn't watching Harry and Meghan, you'd know. That's the car they drove off in, a little blue Jag, pretty much like Bob's. But Bob's got an old piston engine. They refurbed their 68 and made an electric car out of it. In fact, electric cars, in case you don't know it, are faster, or in many cases, than piston engine cars. If you drive a Tesla, it's actually faster than a lot of piston engine cars. Just a little thing to keep you entertained along the way. And the space shuttle. I remember the Apollo program that had a lot of power. We had, I think it was 1.5 billion pounds of thrust in the engines that we were sending the guys up to the moon with. The new Orion has got about 10 times that amount of power. Power does things. Fire does things. Wind does things. You don't believe wind does things? You should have been here doing Katrina. You know what wind can do, all right? Jesus said the Holy Spirit power is for one thing only, to witness about him, to witness about the gospel, to witness that souls might be saved. The Holy Spirit is not here to show off, not to be a demonstration of what he can do. It's not about miracles. It's not about the people being healed, although people are healed. It's not about all the things that the Holy Spirit can do. Those signs and wonders are designed to do one thing, to give credibility to the gospel of Jesus Christ so that people might be saved. Paul said, I didn't come to you in enticing words of wisdom, but I came in the demonstration and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what will save people's lives. That's what will get their attention. And that's what this world needs. The church has gotten so impotent and so weak and so lazy and so kumbaya that the world is going to hell in a handbasket. And you see the evidence of it virtually every day that you live. More school shootings, more people committing suicide, all the terrorist acts around the world. The only thing that'll stop that, the only thing that'll change that, is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and people coming to him. That'll change individuals, and it'll change the world. And everything else, another law, another good political speech, it's just a waste of time. The only thing that'll do any good is Jesus Christ. And it's going to take the power of the resurrected Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of yielded people who are baptized in the Holy Spirit to be able to do the job. And it won't get done any other way. Do this. I haven't actually sat down and figured it all out, but I can tell you that if you'll look around the United States and see the ministries that are doing the most work for the gospel of Christ, you will find that they're charismatic, Pentecostal, baptized in the Holy Ghost ministries. Just think about it. TBN, the gospel going around the world, Pentecostal people, charismatic people, put that together. So does it matter whether or not you have the Holy Spirit? Well, it only matters to God. And if it matters to him, then it should matter to us. Can I get an amen? We need power because it won't be easy. I watched my son-in-law in some pictures that I saw. He's from Portugal, those of you who don't know it. And his mother and dad live in a house that's over 300 years old. It's made out of solid rock. I mean, I'm not talking about pebbles. I'm not talking about cement. I'm talking about giant stones. But one upon another, that house will be here till Jesus comes back. It's not going anywhere. Nothing's going to blow it down. And I saw him one day in a picture where he and his brother, I guess they were doing some repair work or something, were in the backyard. There was a giant rock. I say giant, it was about maybe 3 foot in diameter. It was, you know, like rocks look, you know, odd shape. They were out there with a hammer and chisel, chiseling off pieces of that rock so they could get it squared off enough to use it wherever they wanted to use it. Now, you can do that if you want. It's slow and it's laborious. If you really want to move rock, get some dynamite. drill a little tiny hole, drop a piece of dynamite in it, and run like the dickens, because it's going to blow up. That's what the Holy Spirit does. I mean, you might go out and preach a little bit of the gospel and not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you might win one or two. You just might. I mean, you know, an infinite number of monkeys typing on an infinite number of typewriters, somebody's going to type Shakespeare, all right? So you're going to get lucky every once in a while, but it's a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit that brings 3,000 in at a time. It's the power of God that gets things done. The resistance that you receive to witnessing. Now, some of you, and I'm not picking on you, all right? I'm not naming names. Some of you have never witnessed about Christ. You've never led anybody to the Lord. Now, you've talked about, oh, God is love and God loves you, kumbaya. You know, Jesus came at Christmas time, kumbaya. But you've never stood face to face with someone in the power of the Holy Spirit and said, you need to be saved, just like I did. And watch the power of God move in a person's life and say, would you like to pray and ask Christ into your life and to lead someone to the Lord and watch a life be changed before your very eyes? And if you haven't, why not? Is it that you're not endowed with power from on high to do the job? Or you're just like the disciples were up in the upper room, just scared to death. Well, maybe they won't like me. Maybe they'll say something that'll scare me. Maybe they won't punch me. The chaplain of Bourbon Street, some of you know who that is, some of you don't. Bob Harrington was his name, and he's got a lot of things I don't want to say about him, but I did hear him say something one time, and he's a big guy, he's about 6'4", and he said he was on Bourbon Street, where he had a chapel, that sharing the gospel with some guy who was evidently drunk, and the guy took the beer glass that he had and poured it on Bob Harrington's head, which is, you got to be drunk to do that with a 6'4 guy, all right? And he did that, and Bob Harrington said, you know, now I know I'm really saved. And I said, what do you mean you know you're really saved? He said, because if I wasn't saved, I'd stomp you right through this blacktop. You know, that's the power of the Holy Spirit working. You know, that's God working through a person. The resistance that you're going to receive is threefold. You're going to receive spiritual resistance. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, against rulers. You probably never thought about this before, but it says, we wrestle with. Have you ever seen a wrestling match? Not this fake stuff they do on TV, but a real wrestling match, with the athletic event. Man, you're up close and personal. You're holding on, pushing people around, trying to get the advantage, you know, using all your strength and all your muscle, fighting against this individual. That's the picture that's there. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers in high places. Now, how are you going to beat that with a kumbaya story? How are you going to have any effect? You're dealing with spiritual things. The people you're dealing with are not necessarily demon-possessed, but they're certainly dead in their trespasses and sin. The demonic forces don't want to turn them loose. And you show up and you say, Jesus loves you. God loves you. Let me tell you what he did in my life, and he'll do the same in your life. You just got in a wrestling match. Because the spiritual forces do not want you to do that. Why? Because they have their own agenda. And there's a battle that takes place. That's why the church is not just a place you show up on Sunday morning and have the sweet songs and worship, although that's all good, but it's a place to be equipped to do what Christ has told us to do. It's my job to get you fired up. That's the only... Now, most of the stuff you've heard before, but some of it, you know, went like my mama said, in one ear and out the other. You know, it didn't root. Because you said, that's just not for me. That's not my personality. I'm just quiet. I just want to go. I want to go to Bethlehem. I want to see the baby. Well, I think the scripture said, you know, you haven't had any steak to eat because you've been too busy drinking milk. It's time to get a big old spiritual T-bone. And you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit because of the spiritual forces you're going to come across. Spiritual problems. If that wasn't enough, you've got the world. This world system is against you. It's against the gospel. It's against everything we believe. It's against everything we want to do. Pat and I tried to look at a little movie last night, and it was called Mothers. How could you go wrong looking at a movie about mothers? How long we lasted? 5 minutes? That was it. These mothers were saying, well, I'm not going to tell you what they said. I don't even want to put it in your mind to think about. Trust me, no mama worth her salt, whatever say what these people were saying, all right? So if you run across Netflix and you see a movie called Mothers, just click right by it, all right? Don't even stop it at all. The world, its system, its way of thinking is opposed to you. That's why when you see things and hear things and you watch people do things and you scratch your head and you say, what is wrong with these people? What's wrong with them is they do not know Christ. They have not been baptized in water, and they have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's what's wrong with them. You want to know why? You want to know why? St. Tammany has one of the highest rates of suicide, and it's one of the wealthiest parishes in the state of Louisiana because people don't know Christ. And when you don't know Christ, you will believe the lies of the spiritual forces that say, kill yourself and you'll be better off. They believe the lie, and they're doing it by the droves. We've got several chaplains in this room today. These chaplains are out every day in our community, sometimes more than once a day, with people killing themselves because they don't know Christ. And we can't reason with them. We can't have logic with them. The only thing we can do is try to bring the gospel proactively to them to make a difference. You want to know why kids are killing other kids in school? They don't know Christ. It's one of the things we'd like to do. Well, Bob and I have talked about this several times. We don't know how to do it yet, but we're thinking about it. If we'd like to get a spiritual influence in our school, a Holy Ghost person in the school, we only need one in the school. That'd be enough, because the Holy Spirit is contagious. You get around him, you'll catch him, because he wants to be caught. We can infect the school system with spiritual things. The Holy Spirit will point out some kid to you and say, you know, that kid needs somebody to talk to him. They don't have any hope. And you get a chance to talk to a kid and maybe leave that kid to the Lord and watch that kid be changed, because you don't know, they might have plans and guns to murder kids the next day. But we don't have that influence there, actively being able to do that. Not that we don't have Christians in the schools, but we don't have Christians there for the specific duty and job of bringing spiritual wealth into the schools. That'll make a difference. Guns are necessary. I'm not opposed to guns. You know that. But I'm telling you, we need the Spirit of God in schools to make a difference. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. The world would say, no, you can't bring the gospel in here. Well, look what you did when you took the gospel out. Just go look. You can go back. I told you this several months ago. Go back and look when they took prayer and the Bible and the Ten Commandments out of school, and look what the school system has become today. When you see it on the wall subliminally, thou shalt not murder, it'll get into your system. When you see something that says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and spirit, you know, you may not be a believer, but subliminally, it'll get to you. If you see it enough, it'll get through. Now, I'm not a law person, but if all you can get on the wall is the Ten Commandments, put them babies up there. I'll help you nail them to the wall. We must have the influence on the world, not that we can change the world, but that we can rescue the perishing from the world, just like you got rescued. And it's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit to do it. The last thing you'll run into is the will of man. People just don't want it. Sometimes people just don't want to hear what you want to hear. Don't tell them. They resist. The only way you can overcome the will of man is through the power of the Holy Spirit. He'll tell you things to say that'll change your mind. The woman at the well, you know, Jesus is telling about, if you knew who it was that was here, you know, talking to you, you'd ask him of water and he'd give you living water. And she says, well, good. Give me some of this living water so I don't have to come back here and climb down this hole. You know, it wasn't that a cute little well our little pump that you we have, we're used to. And they had to go down into these things and get water out. What's a big deal? Said, I don't want to have to come here in the heat of the day, because you couldn't go when the other women were going because of her lifestyle. So I can get some of this water and won't have to do this anymore. And Jesus said, go get your husband. That's the Holy Spirit. She's talking about water. The Holy Spirit's talking about our life. And that's what the Holy Spirit will do to you when you run against the will of man. And the Holy Spirit will give you something to say to a person that is just what they need to hear. That's what happened to me today. I got saved. I was walking out of Jim Hickman's house. And he asked me, this is the question I needed answered, that I just dealt with God with the night before, that I had never heard the gospel before. And he said, if you were to die on your way to Slidell, would you go to heaven or hell? That's the question that was on my mind. I was trying to sell him cosmetic franchises. I don't know what other question he could have asked me that would have got my attention more than that. And I said, I don't know. I guess if there's a hell, that's where I'd go. That was my response. He says, well, come in here. Let me show you something. And the rest is history. He showed me the gospel. I got saved. I haven't been the same since. August the 8th, 1972, 1:30 in the afternoon on Tuesday. I got that memorized. I might forget your name, but I'm not forgetting that. The Holy Spirit overcomes the will of men. Now, that some people will say no, but that's not a good idea. I've had one guy that I remember so well. Let me get a drink here. Guy, I went to his house, a church that I went to many, many years ago. Used to go out visiting newcomers and people in the city, and I went with another guy, and we had teamed up together, and we were going to try to win this guy to the Lord. We knew he was lost, and so we got there, and I was the spokesman, and my buddy was the prayer. That was the plan. So he was praying, and I got to speaking. So I tell this guy all about the gospel of Jesus Christ and said, would you like to pray and receive Christ in your life? He said, no. And I thought, I didn't say it out loud, but I thought, what? what do you mean, no? I mean, I did a great job of explaining it. And he said, no. He said, and I said, well, why not? He said, because my boss says he's a Christian, and he's the biggest hypocrite. He's always looking at women. He curses like you wouldn't believe. You know, he goes to church, and if that's what Christianity is, I don't want to be any part of it. And so I tried to explain that, but I just couldn't do it. Well, he should have never said that to me, because the Holy Spirit heard that. You know what happened to that guy? He came to church the next Sunday. He got gloriously saved. You know what else God did to him? Called him to preach, and so far as I know, he's pastoring church to this very day. You know, you can tell God no if you want, but the Holy Spirit will get a hold of you and make you do stuff you never thought you'd want to do. All right? So we deal against the spiritual forces, the worldly forces, and we deal against the will of man. You think you've got a chance of getting anything done without the power of the Holy Spirit? You're kidding yourself. And you're kidding the Holy Spirit. The day of Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, they asked this question, what shall we do? What shall we do? Well, the Holy Spirit gave a bunch of gifts. Those gifts are expressions of the personality of the Holy Spirit. The gift of wisdom. You need some wisdom to do what I'm talking about doing. You're not going to do it just thinking it up. You need some knowledge. You need some gifts of knowledge giving you information that you couldn't have any otherwise. That's what Jesus did to that woman. That was a gift of knowledge working. He said, go get your husband. And you could see her go, what? How does he know about this? I don't have a husband. He said, that's right. And the guy you're living with is not your husband. So that's the gifts of knowledge, the gift of faith, to believe when nobody else believes that something can happen. I believe that God can change our community. I believe that God can make a difference in Slidell. The gift of faith working in your own individual lives for your family and for the people that you love and run into. The gift of healing. People are sick. They need to be healed. I guess theologically, if one of you gets sick and you're going to die, we ought to pray for you to die. It'd be better. I mean, because then you're out of here. You go to heaven. And we can, you know, say, oh, what a great guy, what a great gal he was. But that's not the program. The program says, pray for the sick. If any among you is sick, let him call for the elders. Let them anoint him with oil and do what? Pray a prayer of faith. You know, I had to learn that. I used to pray for people in church I went to many years ago. I did come up, and I didn't have any faith. I didn't believe at all. I was just doing what I was supposed to do. Anoint him with oil. Sometimes God would heal him. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me one day and said, where's your faith? And I went and looked at that scripture, and it says, and the prayer of faith shall heal the sick. It's my job to pray in faith. It wasn't their job to believe. It's my job to pray in faith. And it changed the way that I pray for people today. Miracles. Miracles get people's attention. Really big stuff. And every time, I don't mean to demean what happened, because I really like big stuff. But, you know, getting a free thing, I mean, that's amazing. That's a little miracle. But we need some dynamite kind of miracles. Some stones being blown out the way. We need some power happening. We need something so big that nobody could deny that it was the presence of God. It's like, some of you heard this, my friend John Bordelon, eaten up with cancer so bad, the doctors, this is before they had hospice, taught his wife how to give him injections of morphine to comfort him until he died. Went to his house, we thought he was dead. Seven men went there under the power of direction of the Holy Spirit. And when we got there, we prayed for him. John Bordelon sat up in bed. One of the guys said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. He sat up in bed, walked, made us a pot of coffee, and he walked until just, 2 years ago? 2 or 3 years ago, he died. He died an old man. That's a miracle. I've been telling that story. I don't even know how many times I've told it. It's a real miracle. Those are gifts of miracles and healings. Prophecy, being able to prophesy about what the Spirit of God says to the church. Discernment of spirits, speaking in other tongues, interpretation of tongues. Not to feel good, not to demonstrate, I've got the Holy Ghost, but to be a witness for Christ. That's our main job. That's what we're here to do. And if we're not witnessing, we're not doing our job. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Oh, pretty strong. Okay. The Holy Spirit wants us to wow people, win people, seal people with the Holy Spirit, and then go get him another one. That's what our job is to do. Okay. The baptism of the Holy Spirit enables you to go. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all gathered together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from the heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. There's probably a 2-year sermon series in that one passage of Scripture. Suddenly this hurricane wind showed up. This fire showed up. Hurricanes and fire do things. They make things happen. You don't believe that? Just go over to the big island of Hawaii right now and watch what fire is doing. All right? See what the power of wind can do down here in the south. We understand hurricane force winds. Tongues, speaking other tongues. Why that gift? Holy Spirit, what were you thinking? Do you know what a mess you're going to make of this and how hard it's going to be to convince people to get baptized in the Holy Spirit when we tell them they got to speak in other tongues? Well, actually, we don't have to tell you got to speak in other tongues until you get to speak, I think it comes under the title of, this is my opinion, of the foolish things confounding the wise. See, the wise people showed up on the Pentecost, and they said, what are these people doing? Well, they must be drunk. That's the world. But when you see someone baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in a language that they don't know, it's a miracle. I remember the first time that I spoke another tongue. So far as I can remember, the first person I ever heard speak in tongues was me. And it so amazed me that I knew it was God. I knew something awesome had happened. I was praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I didn't know there was a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that gift works in me, and I use it all the time. You know when I use it? Sometimes when I'm talking to you. Because you're bringing stuff to me that I got no way in heaven or hell of figuring out. Your problems are so big, I don't know how to do it. So when I'll be talking to you and you see me just kind of blinking my eyes looking at you, I'm praying in tongues in the inside. Because I need that gift because it builds me up. It gets me focused in the right place. Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. And he also said in the same chapter, and do not forbid speaking in tongues. It is good for us. It's a twofold gift. One, and this is the vernacular that's used, and I'm going to use the vernacular. We pray in tongues for ourselves, personally. And God uses that to build us up. But that same gift, a different manifestation of the same gift, is something that's spoke publicly in a meeting like this. Someone will speak out loud, not quietly to themselves, but in a way that you know what it is. It is a message from the Holy Spirit, and it works in conjunction with the interpretation of the gift of tongues. So that if one person speaks in tongues, someone else must interpret that so that the church may be edified. This is what Paul says, all right? So that we can understand. We won't understand the message in tongues, but the interpretation of it will give us information. I was a newbie Christian, hadn't been saved very long, and I had got this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Things were on a fast track for me. And we went to a meeting here in Slidell. I think it was put on by the Full Gospel Businessmen Association, which was a new group that had been put out. Some of you know about it. In fact, hanging on that back wall is a banner right over your head, Karen. It is from the Full Gospel Businessmen's group that was right here in Slidell. And you got that for me. And so I've got it hanging back there. It's a good reminder. I mean, Lord only knows if that banner could talk, what it would tell you. I mean, there's some mighty meetings. But we went to this meeting, and I was at one of the bigger auditoriums here in town. I don't think it was the city auditorium. And the place was filled, and Pat and I talked her mother and dad into going to this. Now, her mother's a sweet little Catholic lady. I don't normally mention denominations, but I want to do it today. So her mother's a sweet little Catholic lady, and her dad is kind of a rock-solid, very narrow-minded, hard-shell Baptist. Okay, you kind of get that picture. And they came with us. And we didn't know what it was going to be. We knew it was going to be a speaker. It was kind of, and they had this move of the Holy Ghost. I think it was the first one we saw in that way. Everybody's raising their hands. They're speaking in tongues, you know, praying in tongues and worshiping God. I mean, it was amazing. And it started to quiet down. And somebody spoke out in a big booming voice in tongues. It just really ripped through the air. And you knew something was going on. And I had learned at that point in time that there needed to be an interpretation. So I'm waiting for the interpretation. And I'm standing next to you or standing next to your dad, one of the two. Yeah, okay. And this happens. Well, now I'm really, really worried. Because I got her mom and dad with me. They ain't never seen nothing like this before. But, I mean, I'm just like them. I'm just watching, you know, and being a part of it. And forgive me, but this is the way, the dialogue that I have with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says to me, go ahead and interpret it. And I thought, I don't know how to do that. He said, no, go ahead and interpret it. I don't know how to do that. I've never done that. I don't know what that is. And the Holy Spirit, in the presence of God, came upon me in such a magnificent way. It was something I'd never experienced before. It was just unbelievable. The presence of God. And the Holy Spirit said, go ahead and speak. And I said, no. He said, okay, I'll get somebody else. And I felt that I'm not crazy, all right? Now, this is first-hand information. I felt the Holy Spirit just moving away. And the euphoric feeling that I had was leaving. I said, no, wait. You know, and it was this pause, and I just began to speak in English. I didn't know what I was going to say. I just began to speak, and the Holy Spirit gave me the words to say to interpret the message that was said. And it was, I don't even remember what it was, but it was an amazing event. Why am I telling you this? Because it's the Holy Spirit will do in you whatever you let him do. And if you don't want him, he won't show up. He is not pushy. The scriptures talk about the gentleness of the Holy Spirit. And he's a comforter. He comes to come. In fact, the word comforter literally means someone who comes alongside of you. You ever been in a bad place where you needed somebody and somebody came alongside of you and put their arm around you and said, come on, you'll be all right. You can get through this. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's the gentleness of the Holy Spirit. So he's willing to manifest himself through you any way you want him to. Okay? So that's these gifts. That's their power. They're here for a reason. Man, I talked so long, my iPad went to sleep. Wake up here, iPad. Got to load up, all right? Because I want to make sure I get the rest of this. Okay. You know, don't be disappointed because I read notes. I am a noted speaker. So, how do we wrap these thoughts up? The Holy Spirit took over the helm of the church. And the Holy Spirit started directing the church and what it would do. We got a handful of men and women scared in an empty room. The leader is gone. The Holy Spirit shows up and things really began to change. The Holy Spirit enabled them to do what God had always planned for them to do. And what they did, we're still talking about today. Still talking about it today. The miracles. Peter walking by the gate, beautiful. Silver and gold I have not, but such as I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He went walking and leaping and praising God. So, a child was dead, and one of the apostles goes in and talks to him and speaks life into him, and their dead body rises up. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit that united families, that delivered them out of the mouths of lions and out of fire and boiling oil and jails and all of these things. That is the people of God yielded to the power of God to do the work of God in the church, working in the world. My question is, and this isn't to you, it's to me more than you, why aren't we seeing more of it today? I can speculate. You know, one of the nice things about being part of the charismatic movement, which is a refreshing of the power of the Spirit that took place on the day of Pentecost, it started in the 70s. You know one of the nice things about it? We were so unruly, so uncontrollable. We were so different from everyone else. The churches threw us out. We got thrown off by the droves. If you hadn't gotten thrown out of a church because you were Pentecostal, you didn't have your, marching papers. I mean, it was a badge of honor. You're thrown out of a church. It didn't take much, and they'd throw you out. You just raise your hands. That was enough. You didn't have to speak in tongues. You spoke in tongues, they'd throw you out and stone you. But what happened is the church began to coalesce together in a group, and we got together in small bands. You've heard it talked about my Bible study that I had for so many years doing that. That was the power of the Holy Spirit. What about me? I just showed up. And so far as I can remember, at every Friday night in the years that we were doing that, At least one person got saved every time we got together. And we had some things happen in that place. Right, Ron? But buddy Ron is here. He can testify what a demonic force can do when it comes against you and tries to hurt you. A demonic force took a metal chair and tried to beat Ron with it. And Ron's just trying to get out of the way. And the amazing part, I've told this before, that church, that metal chair had a big dent in it. A metal chair. I'm not talking about some kind of little Mickey Mouse chair. I'm talking about a real church chair, a metal chair. The frame was bent in it where it hit Ron. Didn't have a scar on him or mark on him. It's the power of God. And I don't know whether we ought to just burn all these churches down and get back in the streets where we belong and gather together. These people in this book of Acts gather together to do one thing, to worship God and get their marching orders to go out into the world. I think we need to really seriously consider ourselves individually and collectively as a body, and even in a bigger area through Samaria and Judea and the othermost parts of the world, if there isn't more that we should be doing. And I know most of you are not in it. Well, I don't see any really young people in here. I see the youth group, but the youth group is pretty old. So they consider it's not over for us. And we need to consider, if we haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to open ourselves up to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit spoke. The whole of the Old Testament spoke. Jesus spoke. And the Holy Spirit manifested himself. And we have not been the same till this very day. We were promised the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to close with this one thought. I challenge you. You find me a place in the Bible where it says the baptism of the Holy Spirit ended. I will eat that book. And I'll change my ways. You can't find it because I can't find it. And I spent 2 years looking for it because I was told that the baptism of the Holy Spirit ended. It's a real event in the Bible. It's still available today. What about you? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit given to us. Given to us that we might do the work you've called us to do. Father, energize us. Build us up. Father, do in us what needs to be done that we might be busy doing what you've called us to do until you either call us home or you return to this earth. Father, we submit ourselves to you. Not our will, like Jesus said, but your will be done in our lives. We thank you, Father. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving this world in the way that only you could. Thank you for saving us. Thank you, Father. We rejoice in you, and we pray together in Jesus' glorious name. Amen and amen. You are dismissed with this one bit of instruction. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you'd like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I invite you to come up here. Others, you can kind of mosey back to the fellowship, or you can stay around here and watch what happens. So don't leave out of here without listening to the Holy Spirit and getting baptized if you need to, all right? So I'm here to pray for you, in Jesus' name.
Amen.